Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Empowering Family Caregivers Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am Polly Whitehorn, your host of today's show, sponsored by eCareDiary.com. Today, the focus of our show is trends in in-home services and Senior Umbrella Network of Brooklyn. To help shed some light on this, I am very pleased to introduce our distinguished guest, Vicki Elner, founder and acting chair and president of the Senior Umbrella Network of Brooklyn. Established to serve the needs of the aging population in Brooklyn, New York, Vicki has extensive experience in marketing, community outreach, and business development in the healthcare, home care, and elder law arenas. Trained as a nurse, she soon found her vocation as an advocate for the disabled and the elderly. She is recognized as an authority on navigating the healthcare and elder care maze and is often invited to speak by business groups and nonprofits in the New York metro area. Well, Vicki, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Polly. It's a pleasure to be on your radio program. I'm very excited about this opportunity.
Great, great. Well, let me start off with my first question, and that is, what is the mission of the Senior Umbrella Network of Brooklyn?
As you said, Senior Umbrella Network of Brooklyn was founded in 2003. And the mission and the vision of the organization, in its purest sense, is to be a resource referral network. It's also very strongly focused on bringing together service providers in a forum to exchange ideas, to network, and also it's offered the opportunity for people who may not have met each other to have the ability to do so. And our mission is focused on a few things. First of all, we are focused on fighting ageism, fighting elder abuse, promoting access to services, and although it's a overall theme, we're very focused, coincidentally, this year on the challenges that caregivers are facing.
Interesting. Well, tell me exactly how your organization helps caregivers and seniors.
Well, once again, if people are looking for services, they need to be directed accordingly. We're able to do that. We, as professionals, can brainstorm together. We meet on a monthly basis to discuss the limitless topics related to our aging population, making sure that we have established a voice for the aging population, and of course, we're Brooklyn focused, but the geography is kind of blurred also because many of the people who belong to the organization, although they provide services in Brooklyn, they may also provide in the metropolitan New York area, in the boroughs, and also into the Long Island, Nassau, and Suffolk counties as well. Mm-hmm. And we are dedicated professionals. The organization is run on a volunteer basis. I have a board of directors. So when we are hearing about things that we either need to step up to the plate to get information out about, helping families, pointing them in the right direction, we're there to offer that type of assistance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's great. That's great. Well, let me ask you something. What do you think is the primary challenge for caregivers and seniors in today's current environment?
Where do I start?
Oh,
I can speak to that as a person who mm-hmm. is professionally, and I also can speak to that personally because I was a primary caregiver for my mom, first on a long-distance basis, and then in the last couple of years of her life, I was her primary caregiver and lived with her. And the challenges are many and diverse. Imagine our aging population, which is significant right now. The 85-plus age group is the fastest-growing segment of our population. The caregivers having to negotiate their family life, what they have to provide for their parents. They may be taking care of, you know, children as well in all of this. There are issues related to how it affects their work, their family life, where to get services, who to turn to. And although there is a plethora of information out there about services that are available, the actuality is that many people remain, you know, misinformed. And I think probably that's one of the biggest challenges, is that we seem to wait until we have a crisis and act reactively instead of proactive in terms of, hey, what would happen if A, B, or C, D? You know, what's your plan? Mm-hmm. So the best advice I can give to caregivers, and having been in that situation with all the resources available to me at my fingertips, is to kind of, you know, think ahead. You know, what would you do? Because there could be housing issues, transportation, medical care. There's also whether, you know, the financial aspect of it. So I know I could probably do at least 300 hours just on this topic for the show.
Okay. Well, nowadays, I hear that in-home services are a big focus point among caregivers. Why do you think there's a developing trend in this in-home services for the seniors?
Well, I think that in some way the obvious answer to that in the forefront is that people generally want to stay in their homes. They've lived in their, you know, they've lived in their home, you know, all their life. You know, they're getting on. They start to have certain limitations, but they still have a desire to be at home. So, what can they do to implement a, you know, services? You know, should they become necessary? And the way the structure of because of the needs that have developed with our aging population today, it's, and once again, I'll try to categorize this and saying, okay, you have mom or dad or both sometimes, you know, living at home, and you see that they're starting to, there are challenges. So maybe they start, they get frailer. So you have to look inside the home, what needs to be implemented in terms of anything that will make their life easier. Do they need a ramp to get outside, for instance? The other thing is that I'm doing work right now launching an in-home physician house call practice, because people can't get out to their doctor the way that they used to, because once again, they may have limitations. So doctor visits can be now done in the home. Believe it or not, it's like everything old is new again. I remember when I was a kid, we would have a doctor come to the house, and all of a sudden there was a new thing. You would go to the doctor's office. Well, the pendulum is swinging back the other way. That physician can then order different things to be done in the home, whether it's, you know, lab work, whether someone needs, for instance, in-home physical therapy. There's also technology-driven, you know, equipment that can be implemented in the home so that people's status can be monitored on a continual basis. And then, of course, when you get to the point that you might need in-home services related to, does somebody need a companion? Does somebody need an aid? Maybe they've had some type of precipitating event where they've been hospitalized and they've been in a rehab situation. What services are they going to go home with? And are those services just going to be interim, or are those services going to be on a long-term basis? And it's amazing today, you know, the more that I'm out there and talking to colleagues or going to different meetings, the type of services that are cropping up. And then if you throw into the mix, when you have a population that might be affected by dementia, Alzheimer's, you know, what do you need to be able to keep someone safe? Because that's always the thing that we look at primarily. And coming from a nursing background, when you're looking at the bigger picture, you know, what is the safest, most appropriate, you know, situation that is necessary for any, you know, given individual?
very interesting. Now, of course, the thing that pops up in my mind, or the question is, what are the costs associated with in-home care, and how do the costs compare with one another?
Well, costs vary depending on the level of care. You would have to determine whether someone needs a companion. And if I can just talk for a minute about the different levels of care for, let's say, from the different types of home care agencies. A companion in the home, what does that mean? Well, a companion is typically someone that comes in, does some light housekeeping, and also maybe some shopping, is around if someone needs any assistance during the day, but the limitation is doesn't do hands-on care. What is considered hands-on care is something that's related to bathing, toileting, dressing. Those are what we call ADLs, activities of daily living, that they might need care for. And, depending on what either entitlement programs are implemented or if it's a private pay, those certainly will affect what the cost is. Also, someone may need a person to coordinate services for them because they can't do it themselves on their own. They may be working. So, but if you want me to give you ballpark figures, I could probably say somewhere for companions and aides in the home, you're talking probably somewhere between the $18 to $22 an hour. And once again, this could be geographically dictated as well as other factors.
Okay. Well, let me ask you about these costs that you just outlined. Are they covered by Medicare or Medicaid?
Yeah, and I'll digress for a minute. If someone has a situation where they have been in the hospital and then they've been discharged to a short-term rehab and they spend a period of time there and then they're discharged from the short-term rehab back to their home, then they're typically discharged with some type of service in place that's available through what we call a certified home health agency, a CHA, it's known in the industry. CHA services are covered by Medicare, and there's a structure to it as in terms of what they will provide, and that's picked up by Medicare. And if someone could have Medicaid also, it's a hard question just to say, and I wish in healthcare we could say, this is what happens exactly when this occurs or when something else occurs. It's hard because there are so many different variables within any given situation, which, as you can imagine, is very unique for every person and family.
Well, let me ask you, how can a caregiver decide if in-home service is right for their elderly loved one?
They have to look, once again, at what is happening in their situation. Let's talk about having a doctor make a house call, all right? What challenges is a family having? The daughter and or son, and other expanded family are working during the day. They can't get someone to a physician's office, but their loved one needs a care of a physician on a routine basis, okay? So they start recognizing that. Another thing, although right now in New York we're in the middle of a very hot week and weather is not an issue for the winter where snow, ice, and everything else is a factor. So they have to assess their needs. They have to look over what's going on in their lives, it's going to make it as easy as possible for them to get the care that's necessary for their aging loved one. And also, from the caregiver perspective, what can they do to somehow lessen the burden that they are faced with on a day-to-day basis? And, in nursing, we talk about, doing assessments and kind of collecting our data, making a plan and implementing it. So they have to sit down and look at all those variables to how, you know, how to implement these programs.
Mm-hmm.
Also from the perspective of, does someone need a person to be at the home, be it a companion or an aide? The same type of situation where, assessing what their needs are. A lot of times what we hear is that all of a sudden, mom can't do what she used to do, or it seems more difficult. And when you're in a situation day to day, it's not as obvious to maybe someone who is looking in from a different lens,
mm-hmm.
see a situation evolving. And that in itself becomes an assessment process. And sometimes it becomes where you have to kind of admit to yourself that you need to reach out and get help and implemented services that you need. I remember taking care of my mother and going through that process where I finally had to say, oh, you know what? This is what it's going to take. I can't do it, all on my own. And caregivers really have to, be very in tune to what their abilities are and not looking at it as I'm giving up or I'm not able to handle it. These are resources to reach out to give the best optimum service, program, care for everybody involved.
Okay. I have another question. When a caregiver comes to the point where they really when they realize that they need to hire a professional to provide the in-home care, what kind of questions should they have prepared to interview the prospective in-home care provider?
Yeah, it's a great question. And by the way, the first thing I'll say is that there's a lot of things available, on the internet for caregivers that they can use as a guide. But I think when you're looking at the care options available, the first thing is whatever agency service that you're looking at is, are they licensed? And who are they licensed by? It's great to try to talk to other people maybe who have used the services, word of mouth. And on the aside, there are lots of caregiver support programs. People have gone through this. So sometimes taking the experience that other people have had to help them along with that is also can be very, very important. Do as much research as possible. For instance, if you're going to hire a companion through an agency, well, what would happen if that caregiver, that companion doesn't show up? What would the agency do to make sure that somebody is there? Those type of questions. Of course, the financial part of it is very important. These agencies are typically, very dedicated, and the caregivers are very dedicated. They want to provide, a warm and loving environment for somebody. But you also, I guess it goes back to the referral part of it and the reference part of it. What kind of references can you get on somebody? And there's different ways also. I mean, we recommend that people typically go with an agency, but some people private hire. So there's other, there's other words of caution to use on that and I think that goes beyond the scope of right now. And I don't know if you're going to be giving my name out and my number, but certainly someone can contact me to ask more questions about that. And the flexibility, what is staff like? Remember, the person, the agency, whatever service that you are using, you're putting the person that you love in their hands.
And it's very interesting because that leads me up to my next question. And this is of particular interest to caregivers that are at a distance. And of course, you know, they're very concerned about the about protecting their elders from elder abuse and exploitation. How can a caregiver feel comfortable beyond the what you just answered?
It's a, you know, obviously from a long distance basis, you know, if we were talking about, you know, looking at what would be signs of, you know, elder abuse and you're there and eyeballing it, that's one thing. From a long distance, as you can imagine, it certainly it could be more burdensome. But, you know, most families have a pulse on what's going on. You know, typically, you know, someone that is in the home, the things that we look for in elder abuse, and elder abuse encompasses a few different things. It encompasses financial abuse, which, by the way, is pretty much the most prevalent, and then physical abuse, you know, neglect and things like that. Having someone that you, if you can, that is in the area that you can trust, to do regular checks. That's where, for instance, a geriatric care manager might be of, you know, great assistance, so that you have someone who is eyeballing the situation on a routine basis. Because it's your family, it's your family member, it's your mom, it's your dad. You want to know what's going on. Are they getting frailer? Is there food in the refrigerator? With the financial aspect of it, bills start getting unpaid. There isn't the money that you thought were in the account. You know, all these kind of things kind of enter into it.
Well, thank you for giving us all those important facts to be on the lookout for, and those great tips. I want to say thank you, Vicki. It has been such a pleasure having you as a guest today. You can learn more about Vicki Elner on www.sunb.org/sunb/. And I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in today. Join us next time on Tuesday, July 26th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time for our radio show, Caregiver and Physician Conversations, hosted by eCare Diaries caregiving expert Marjorie Pabst. Marjorie will interview Dr. Barry Jacobs, author of The Emotional Survival Guide for Caregivers, and will discuss his work with medical professionals on improving patient communications. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, please visit www.ecarediary.com under the blog tab. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye now.